Greetings, good gamers, to yet another show of the Daily Days podcast, that show that flows down both retro and modern roads. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host on this enthralling adventure, and after returning to the gaming realm last week for a most engrossing Great Gamers quiz, it's time to continue on with my jaunt through Dragon Ball Z. Or actually, Dragon Ball Super, as its latest incarnation is commonly known. Now, I apologize for the slight tardiness of this episode. I meant it to go up on Sunday, but life got in the way, so my apologies. And to piggyback on that, next Sunday I unfortunately won't have a show due to Thanksgiving. So, in other words, I'm taking next weekend off, but I'll be back the one after that to provide the second part of this Dragon Ball series of shows. Anyway, as before, I profess no outstanding expertise in the Dragon Ball series, actually using this podcast to share my newbie insights and ponderances on the greater fandom. To quickly recap, I began my retrospective looking back on Dragon Ball Z's early days in the US. I didn't quite understand this bombastic franchise at the time, but eventually grew to appreciate its ridiculous long-winded tug-of-war style action. But before I watched every episode in proper order, I ended up plowing through all 64 episodes of Dragon Ball GT. It's here that my casual fan status might have actually helped me appreciate GT for what it was more than what it wasn't. While hardcore Z followers regard GT with, at best, a fair share of indifference, I took its quirks in stride and enjoyed the ride for a while it lasted. After GT, I took another break, only recently returning to the Dragon Ball fold thanks to 2013's Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods, a film that marked the true return of the Goku clan after years of hibernation. Yep, after having been essentially replaced by Naruto, One Piece, and a number of other proxy pretenders, it was good to see the familiar faces of my youth back in top form, even if the film itself wasn't particularly epic. The second film, of course, came soon thereafter. Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F boasted more weight and stakes than its predecessor, as it pit both Goku and Vegeta against the series' greatest villain, the joyously evil Frieza, who naturally is intent on exacting revenge after his defeat way back on planet Namek. Fun fast with sublime animation and enough action for every character to have his moment, it's the second film that largely compelled me to not only fill in the remaining gaps of my knowledge regarding Z, but to also give the new TV series, now titled Super, a try when it released later in 2015. Did it live up to expectations? Is Super the grand sequel to Z we always wanted or dreamed? Well, it's complicated.
Look out!
Before we begin, well, Super is quite the saga already. I thought I could convey my thoughts in a single episode as I have before, but no, I'm going to need part 2 and probably part 3 to cover everything. So sit back, this will focus on mainly the first 2 arcs of this Super series. Anyway, after Z made its comeback with those 2 entertaining films, I soon learned that a new series was also in the making. Now coined Super, the Z moniker was apparently banished as this new series presumably would be going in another direction. At least so it seemed when I finally got around to viewing the show's early episodes. Yeah, I was a little late to the game on this one as well. I was surprised to find that they merely repeated what happened in those 2 films over the course of the first 27 episodes or so. I had mixed feelings about this, although the extended length of these 2 storylines allowed for a trove of extra details concerning Beerus, Wiz, the Z Fighters, or is it the Super Fighters now? I don't know. And yeah, pretty much all the secondary characters got their moments as well, and yet a lot of these extra details and storyline bits just felt like padding, filler, really. It was also hard to adjust to the TV version's inevitable drop in quality after relishing the sublime animation seen in the movies. Certain episodes, in fact, have become infamous with their surprisingly amateurish depictions of certain characters and their degrade movements, although many of these faults have been somewhat corrected since the series' conversion to Blu-ray. Nevertheless, compared to the beautiful work of the movies, they really can't compare, and certainly they lack the more gritty, sketchy art of Z's long run. Now, before I go on, I need to state that the limited scope of this podcast precludes me from breaking these initial arcs into anything resembling a comprehensive dissection. In truth, I could talk about Super for months, but we'll settle for just a brief synopsis of my feelings here. And to squish everything into a really tidy nutshell, my early feelings towards the show was pretty mixed. Beerus, the god of destruction, is a good example. Did we need yet another god when we already had the 4 Kais, the Grand Kai, the Supreme Kai, and various other ethereal leaders? His introduction is peculiar, too. He isn't really hero or villain or even anti-hero. He just is an indifferent being who will destroy entire planets because he doesn't like their food. That tendency is supposed to be funny, maybe, but I couldn't help but find it a tad disturbing as well. Nevertheless, he still manages to be somehow likable in his own way, and his contentious relationship with Goku is both interesting and amusing. Wiz, Beerus's angelic counterpart, is also a captivating fellow, if only because of his mysterious nature. Recently, there have been some intriguing developments regarding his character found in the ongoing Japanese manga, and I can't wait to see where those tantalizing nuggets lead. And then there's Vegeta, although I think he's more relatable in Super than ever before, showing even a surprisingly comedic flair that I can't recall seeing too much in Z. It does seem strange that he's still so obsessed with surpassing Goku when, back in Z, he seemed content to accept the fact that Goku would always be at least one level ahead. Even so, though, if Goku requires a contrasting counterpart to keep the status quo both balanced and interesting, you can't do better than an always irate, ornery Saiyan anxious to elevate himself and his race. Indeed, if Goku is obsessed with fighting for its own sake, Vegeta fights with a purpose. He wants to not only live up to his namesake as the Prince of all Saiyans, but to prove to the cosmos that the Saiyan race is the superior one, which, come think of it, is a little scary. And yes, then there's Goku. Although the same likable, good-hearted guy on the surface, he seems a little different here. A little goofier, a little slower on the uptake, a little more naive than he ever was before, at least during his Dragon Ball Z days. Indeed, it's as if he's been faintly retconned, rendering him perhaps more appealing to younger viewers who need their protagonist to be funny, even mischievous. This worked in Dragon Ball, the original series before Z came around, but it seems out of place here. It's been reported, however, that Animation House Toei was intent on making the franchise more kid-friendly, which says a lot about Goku's more juvenile temperament. Which brings me to another observation. Where's the blood, the vicious eviscerations, the upchucking of crimson that so often adorned the scenery in the typical Dragon Ball Z battle? Most of that has been scrubbed here, with the most we get being some Namekian slime or someone spewing a mouthful of spit. It reminds me of how video games used to be censored in the West, with the blood replaced in fighting games with white or green sweat. After watching Z in its raw form, this strident sanitation seems odd, so much so it makes Super almost seem like a different continuity altogether. Which, in truth, is how I'm almost tempted to view the entirety of Z, just like GT felt a little bit off in how everything was presented and how its characters were depicted. Super feels the same way. It's familiar, sure, but not really the same, with details of the previous series not matching exactly with the updated canon of this new one, with a ditzier Goku and a still perpetually angry Vegeta, with a Majin Buu with nothing to do, with an irrelevant Gohan and a babysitting Piccolo, although I admit, seeing Piccolo saddled with caring for Pan is kinda cute and sweet, in a series usually lost to gratuitous fighting. In other words, I enjoyed Super for what it was, but wasn't really sold on it being a true successor to Z. Again, in my mind, it sort of fit the same space of GT. A separate story akin to something devised by a superfan, just not Toriyama. Which is kinda half true, although Toriyama does outline Super's plot. The individual episodes are written by separate authors. The manga, likewise, is helmed by a different individual. And frankly, it shows. So, if it sounds like I'm finding Super thus far to be somewhat mediocre, that's pretty much true. But there are some things I truly enjoyed. Frieza, foremost among them. Although I didn't really want his return, now that he's back, I'm glad he's one of the slyest, most devious, menacing, fascinating villains I have ever encountered in modern fiction. Bringing him back was smart and a great boon to Super in general. Moreover, I enjoyed Goku's quasi-defeat at Frieza's hands in the second arc, as it allowed the hero to learn from his mistakes and sport some growth, even if those lessons seem to have already been forgotten in later episodes. As we delve further into the series next time, I have many more bright spots I'll mention, as I do believe the series does get better. But for now, there are a few others. I do like seeing Krillin's and Android 18's happy family life together. I like the funny episodes, as when Goku and Vegeta are trying to change out Beerus's bed without waking him up. And while I was soft at first with the introduction of Jocko, the galaxy police agent, or whatever he's supposed to be called, I have since come around to his presence and find him a fun foil for Bulma. The intrepid alien even has his own graphic novel. It's just a single volume, but called Jocko, the Galactic Patrolman, there you go. It's a pretty entertaining introduction to the character, and at only $10, I recommend it to any Dragon Ball fan. Oh, is it Jocko or Jacko? I'm sorry if I'm getting his name wrong, I really can't remember. But anyway, so I'm not a super naysayer, as you might have feared. And as I said, it gets better. I've only focused on those first two arcs here. After progressing into the Universe 6 saga and beyond, I began seeing the series in a different light. And yes, in a positive way. Whether a proper continuation of Z or not, the show was starting to get intriguing, even good. And that's what I'll focus on next time, leading up to that grandiose event known as the Tournament of Power. But before I go, as I guess as a sort of preview, here's the English theme song for the later episodes of Dragon Ball Super.
Time has come, I'm ready to go, venturing into the unknown. Fires inside me must be unleashed. People talking nonsense all day. Jinpukan, that's all they can say. I can't get no satisfaction. Challenges may come, fighting's just begun. But there's no stopping me from spreading out my wings. Let's fly high, concentrate my power. In the final hour, in the end, I am gonna win. Don't you know I'm unstoppable? Don't even try, cause you will fall. I got a strength deep in my soul that gives me courage and control.
While I still prefer GT's slower, more yearning melody, this English rendition of Super's opening really ain't half bad for our side of the ocean. But enough of that. I do have to go, but I will return in 2 weeks with the next installment of this Dragon Ball celebration. I do wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and until then, this is Mr. Picario, signing off for now.